So I'm Karen Tobin. I'm presenting some data coming from Baltimore. I'm with Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, and I'd like to start by acknowledging my co-authors, Errol Fields and Dr. Carl Atkin. Did you just click? Or? Okay, great. And I think this presentation is a nice segue from Dr. Desjardins' presentation. I'll be focusing on MSM, IDU in Baltimore, and just as some brief background comments, male-to-male sexual contact remains a prominent HIV risk category in the U.S., and MSM-IDU have been described as a bridge population given their dual risk behaviors of injection drug use and also sexual behavior. Some samples and some studies have reported high rates of sexual risk behavior as well as injection risk behavior. Many of these studies have come from predominantly white male samples, either from the West Coast or from Denver. But African Americans continue to be disproportionately affected by HIV in this country, particularly in Baltimore. A recent study from the CDC's National HIV Behavioral Surveillance Study reported that among African American MSM, we ranked highest in prevalence as compared to five other cities. So given this context of being in a city where African Americans are disproportionately affected by HIV, we have very high estimates of the numbers of drug users, active drug users in our city. We did this study, which aimed to really take a look at and compare both injection and sexual risk behaviors among men who have sex with men and inject compared to those injectors who don't have sex with men. And the sample is predominantly African American. Data for the study comes from a larger study called the Step Into Action Study, which is or was an experimental social network-oriented HIV prevention intervention for active injection drug users. And I won't describe the intervention, but in essence, what we did was we went out and recruited active injection drug users and then asked them to recruit in their risk partners. So this was not RDS. This wasn't just asking folks to go out there and just invite other people in. It was having them identify people they were engaging in drug or sex risk and inviting those specific risk partners in, and we called those networks. Recruitment for our indexes occurred from March 2004 to March 2006 using a variety of methods, including outreach, advertisements, and word of mouth. The baseline visit for all participants, so whether you were an index or a network, included behavioral risk assessments using both interviewer-administered surveys and self-administered surveys, and also voluntary HIV testing, and we also tested for gonorrhea and chlamydia using a urine sample. All of this was approved by the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health, IRB. So these are the inclusion criteria of who came into the study and where the data came from. Our index participants were ages 18 years old or older, reported injection drug use in the past 6 months, and reported willingness to invite the network member in. The network member also had to be 18 years old or older, but injection drug use was not necessarily an inclusion criteria for them to get in because they could have been a sex partner. So the data for my analysis comes from 600, at baseline, we were able to baseline a little over 1,000 people. 621 of them were male, and 536 of them, index and networks, reported injection in the past 6 months. Of those, 430 reported having at least one sex partner in the past 90 days. So these, this is the sample. Okay, so the measures that we collected included basic demographics. To assess sexual identity, we used the question, do you consider yourself gay, straight, or bisexual? And MSM was defined behaviorally, so if a man reported having sex with another man, they were categorized as MSM, and that didn't make it on the slide, unfortunately. Sorry. We assessed drug use in the past 6 months, both the types of drugs they used and the frequency. And for injection risk behaviors, this was data collected via self-administered computerized survey, which has been shown to increase honest reporting of very risky behaviors. To assess receptive risk, we asked them whether or not in the past 30 days they had used a needle or cooker that had been used by somebody else first. We also assessed distributive risk in the past 6 months, so there's a slightly different time frame there. Again, did you give a used needle or a used cooker to somebody else in the past 6 months? We also looked at their shooting gallery attendance, whether they'd ever attended Needle Exchange, which is operating in Baltimore, and the sex risk behaviors, condom use, and whether or not they, the types of different sex partners that they had were also collected via the self-administered technology. So my analyses were conducted using STATA version 10. The bivariate comparisons were used, the statistics I used were Fisher's Exact and Mann-Whitney-U. As you'll see, I have some of a sample size, small sample size, so we had to use some non-parametric statistics, and we used logistic regression for multivariate modeling. So the overall sample was, the majority had less than a 12th grade education. Most were not working, where 49% were unemployed and 28% were disabled. So these are non-working folks. About a third had been incarcerated in the past 6 months. 40% reported lifetime diagnosis with hepatitis, and 90% of those were diagnosed with hepatitis C or self-reported that that diagnosis was hepatitis C. And 28 of those men reported having sex with another male in the past 90 days, which is 7%. So there were no statistical differences between MSM and non-MSM on those basic demographics. The drug use characteristics of the sample, most of them were heroin injectors or speedball. A majority smoked crack and drank alcohol several times a week, so these are pretty active drug users. About a third had ever been on methadone. And again, we found no statistical differences in their drug use, whether it be the type of drugs they use, which I'm presenting here, or even the frequency. So the differences that we did find were on these variables. MSM were younger, were a greater proportion of MSM compared to non-MSM were other race. Of the MSM category, these were all white. Of the non-MSM, they were majority white. And consistent with other literature, you know, a greater proportion of MSM IDU were HIV positive. What we found was interesting was that the sexual identity of MSM among MSM IDU were varied, with almost half reporting identifying as straight and about a third identifying as bisexual, so only a quarter identifying as gay. When we compared their injection risk behaviors, what we found was that using a needle after another person and using a cooker after another person, so this receptive risk, MSMIDU were more likely to report those behaviors. And they were also more likely to report lending a used needle to a close friend, but not to a stranger. We found no differences on whether they reported splitting drugs using a used needle, which has been associated with HCV risk, no differences on attending shooting gallery, and no difference on needle exchange. So I'll discuss the implications of that later. So given the sample size that we only had 28 cases of MSM-IDU, we could only do limited multivariate modeling. I wanted to control for HIV status, given that the strong association with the outcome. So, and you see with this model that receptive injection risk, which where we combine the needle and the cooker receptive risk, remains strongly associated with MSM-IDU in addition to HIV status. And also this distributive risk, lending a used needle to somebody else, a close friend, was also remained strongly associated with being an MSM, controlling for HIV. So now I'm shifting to look at their sexual risk behaviors. And we, again, consistent with the literature, we found that the majority of the MSM compared to the non-MSM reported sex exchange with a greater number of mean partners. But we did not find that there was a difference in the condom use for either anal or vaginal sex across types of partners. So, and in fact, under half of the entire sample reported using condoms 100%, so condom use wasn't optimal in this whole sample. Because sex exchange was kind of sticking out there as a potential confounder interaction, we explored that a little bit more. And I have some tables to back this up, but I wanted to summarize the data first. So what we found was that, you know, among MSMIDU, we looked at the sexual identity, expecting that maybe more of the sex exchangers would identify as straight, and this was exchange for drugs and not because of other things. And we found that the sexual identity actually didn't vary by whether or not they exchanged. When just looking at sex exchangers, we found that they were reporting a greater number of sex partners compared to non-exchangers, regardless of, so comparing sex exchangers to non-sex exchangers. And also that, but among sex exchangers, MSM IDU reported a greater number of sex partners compared to the non-MSM. And that was marginally significant. Among sex exchangers, overall condom use was higher compared to the non-sex exchangers. And so these tables just show you the mean number of sex partners among those reporting the sex exchange, which were 50 in the whole sample. And you see that the MSM IDU had 11, and the non-MSM IDU had 5. So there was a difference there. But among those not reporting sex exchange, that there was no difference. They had about an average of 2. So, before I discuss my conclusions and summary, the limitations of this analysis, the major limitation was that I had a really small sample size, and it limited my ability to do more complicated, I think, multivariate modeling, and also to really test for interactions with race and with sex exchange. Also, some of my confidence intervals are a bit wide because of the limited sample size. This was a sample of predominantly African-American injection drug users, so therefore it has limited generalizability. They were predominantly heroin injectors, so we can't say that this applies to injection drug user populations in this country that don't have those similar characteristics. And I guess it's possible that there was some recall bias, although I feel that given the prevalence of the risk behavior being reported, that's less of an issue because of also the way that we collected the data using self-administered technology. So what the summary, this really should say summary, I think. Summary and conclusions of this analysis really is that, first we saw that the majority of the MSM IDU did not identify as gay, and I think it's really important, and I think the literature keeps saying that that in order to really tailor interventions to be more broad and more flexible, we need to take into account the fact that some men who have sex with men aren't identifying as gay, and to do outreach and programming appropriately given that. We found consistent with other studies that HIV status is associated with MSM. And so as an interventionist, what that means to me is that we should make sure that we're including the prevention for positives types of content in our curriculum for interventions, that it's not just about the injection drug use and the sexual risk reduction behaviors, but also talking about issues related to being HIV positive, which includes disclosure and getting good health care. We saw high rates of both receptive and distributive risk for both of these groups, and I was actually rather alarmed to see how high they were given the harm reduction efforts that are in place in Baltimore, given the number of years that we've been trying to, I think, make inroads with really getting folks to change behaviors. With regards to the receptive risk, it's not clear whether MSM-IDU were more likely to report receptive risk because of their marginalized or stigmatized kind of role in the community. Certainly stigma and is a big factor that I think is isolating and keeps folks from accessing services. And so maybe that's why we're seeing that. With the distributive injection risk, particularly to close friends, that suggests to me that the interventions that we're doing should really focus on close relationships, kind of analogous to the way that we're really trying to focus with condom use on main partnerships, because there's a trust there, and that's why we might not be seeing condom use. It seems like perhaps the closeness of the relationship with their injection partners may be contributing to more distributive risk in that category. So we should focus on that in our interventions. And I also thought that it was interesting that overall condom use was lower among the non-sex exchangers. So I think we need to ramp up our efforts to talk about condom use among folks who aren't telling us that they're doing extremely risky behaviors, but if they're sexually active, we should continue the message about using condoms consistently. Some of the questions that this research leads to are to explore the social and social network and the risk networks of MSM-IDU. That hasn't been described well. What role do perceived social norms about injection and sex risk play in mediating this risk for MSM-IDU? and what is the role of sexual identity and experiences of stigma on behavior. I'd like to acknowledge the participants of the study who contributed the data, the research assistants, and also the funders. I also have no conflicts to report. And this is my contact information if you want to get in touch with me for a copy of the presentation.
The next speaker is Hannah Cooper.
So I feel like I have this